Good morning. If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 12. And it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, of that one body being many, are one body, also, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again to the head or to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 27, Paul has broke this down, and he uses our worldly, our fleshly bodies as an example for our church, our bodies, the body of Christ. The church is much like a ball team. One beautiful sunny afternoon, two baseball teams met to play a game. Although it was expected to be a good game, one team was assured of victory. The teams dressed in their respective uniforms, the white socks in white and the red socks in red. Game time approached, and the red socks were ready. All the team was there and ready to play, not at all discouraged by the fact that the best player to ever play the game was on the opposing team, the White Sox. However, the White Sox were having some problems. Blake, the greatest player to ever play the game, was ready to play, but some of the other players were not moved by his enthusiasm. The first baseman, as well as the third baseman, were missing in action. Drew, the catcher, finally showed up seconds before the game time. All three outfielders were in attendance, yet two of them had not bothered to show up for practice in a while. Blake took the mound. Finally, the game started, and the Red Sox showed that they came to play. Blake stepped up and done everything that he could do. He covered first and third bases, as well as his other duties. Outfield play was a disappointment. With the tardy of the catcher and the two who hadn't bothered to practice, they were rusty and just couldn't get it together and missed every ball that came their way. Blake was able to get two outs on his own, and an outfielder and second baseman combined managed to get the third out. It was going to be a long game. The church is much like a ball team. In order to achieve victory, all the players must be practiced and ready come game time. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul described the church as the body of Christ. The body of Christ has many parts. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many. Each part serves its own function." Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 says, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Just like it takes many members to make up our physical bodies, it also takes many believers to make up the body of Christ. Just like it takes all of our own members functioning properly for our physical bodies to work right, it also takes all of the members of the body of Christ to keep the church functioning properly. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 15 through 19, it says, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" Paul compares the church to the human body. Through this analogy, he communicates the important truth of our need to accept our differences as individual members of the body of Christ and recognize these differences as an important part to the proper functioning as a whole. Romans 12:6 says, "Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of our faith. God did not make all of us the same, but we are all important to the ministry. The first principle that Paul wants us to understand about our need for one another is that each member is important. While each member of the body of Christ is not the same, each of us is essential to the whole. You know, just like our fingers are just important to us as our toes, or our eyes as our ears, you know, if we look around our church, our people are important to the body of Christ and to the church, just as our fingers and eyes are important to us. And when somebody's out, we miss that person. You know, it doesn't matter what they do. If it's the pianist, if she's out, we miss the pianist. And if it's the song leader, you know, if somebody's got to fill in the gap for these people when they're not here. And I thank the Lord that we've got people that can do that. But they're just as important as any other member of the church. And one, there's some people, you know, that's been out for a while. They got illnesses and sicknesses and things going on. Even if they don't hold a big role in the church, those people are just as important as the ones, the pianist and the song leader and the pastor and the Sunday school teachers. We need to think about the people in our church and look around and think about the ones that hadn't been here in a while, and go find that church bulletin or the church directory and find those names and call those people or text those people or go knock on their door and ask them, you know, see why they hadn't been to church. You know, maybe somebody in the church offended them. You know, sometimes we get offended by other people in the church, and that's easy to do sometimes. And some people take things like that differently than others. But it's important that we recognize all the members of the church. Paul uses the analogy of the human body, which is made up of many different parts, to show us how the variety of parts, such as the eyes, hands, ears, nose, and so forth, are essential to the wholeness of the body. Each part must be present for the body to be complete. If the human body was made up of only one part, then it would cease to be a body by definition. A body is made up of many parts. For instance, an automobile or car body has many parts. It has the main shell, the hood, the fenders, the doors, the core support, the inner fenders, the trunk, bumpers, grill, headlights, taillights, dash, and many other parts to make it complete. Just like cars, we all need these parts to make the body complete and to function properly. We are all given eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to touch, noses to smell, and all of our other various parts to our human bodies contribute to the whole body in unique and significant ways that no other part can. So it is with the body of Christ. God has made us all different and unique. He gifts each of us in particular ways like no one else. You know, God gives us different duties to do within the church. He don't give us all the same thing. You know, if we all were the pastor, who would listen to the sermons? If we were all called to be Sunday school teachers, who would be there to teach? So just like He's given the church Sunday school teachers, He's also given people different things to do within the church. Just like, you know, He's give Brother Dave the job to sit back there and control the sound so we can take care of all that. We've got the church treasurer and the Sunday school teachers and all those such things within the church, in the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:21. It says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you." It says here, "I have no need of thee." There is no such thing as a freelance Christian. No part of the body can take leave of the other members as though they were not necessary. In verses 22 and 23, it says, "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our more uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." These members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Like the human body, some members are weaker than others, but they too are important to the body of Christ, the church. Likewise, there are some we think to be less honorable. Some parts of the body seemingly receive more attention and exposure than others, while there are some parts of the body that are really never noticed at all. You know, most of us, from day to day, we know that we got fingers and we know that we got eyes because we can see, and we got ears that we can hear, and we got a mouth that we can speak. But a lot of times we don't think about other parts of our body, the parts that are on the inside that are more important than our fingers and our toes, but we don't even think about those. And that's sometimes, like I said, how it is within the church. We got other members that they're not really doing anything within the church, but they're still important to the church. And when they're out of church, they need to be thought of just as importantly as somebody else in the church. verse 24, it says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." As God views the body, He does not see it in part, but as a whole. That word tempered is to impart increased strength, to make stronger. You know, sometimes you'll hear people say, "With such and such as tempered glass," that means that glass is stronger than regular glass. So it has been done something done to it. And that's how God has made our body. In verses 25 and 26, it says, "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." That word schism, it means division. He's saying there should be no division in the body. And just like there should be no division in our fleshly body, there should be no division in the body of Christ, the church. There should be no division and separation, or feelings should find no place in the body of Christ. Rather, the members should have the same care one for another. The body is one, and it has a common life and consciousness. Therefore, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. I thought about this when I injured my eye the other day. My eye wasn't the only thing that suffered. However, my eye was the only part that I injured. My eye affected my whole body. Have you ever just hurt one part of your body and it just affects your whole body and everything that you do? It also affected my sleep. Therefore, it affected how I felt. I didn't feel well because of for lack of sleep. It also affected my thinking because my eye was the only thing I could think about at that time. It also affected my worship because I didn't come to church. You know, just like, you know, sometimes we get to get sick or get hurt or something. It don't just affect one part of us. It affects our whole body. And then if we let it, you know, it will affect our worship with the Lord, just like sometimes members of the church, if we let them, they'll affect our worship. You see, one member that we really don't think that much about can really affect the whole, can affect a whole lot when it comes to the body of Christ. And they that are hurt or just out, when it comes, let's see, where was that? See, one member that we don't really think about that much can really affect a whole lot when it comes to the body of Christ if they are hurt or just out of place. Whether one member suffer, all members suffer. Likewise, if one be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, when we have somebody in the church, the Lord bless them with something. You know, we should be as happy for them as if the Lord blessed us with that same thing. We shouldn't be discouraged because somebody else got a blessing and we didn't. We should, you know, rejoice with them. In verse 27 it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Members in particular, that word particular is being one unit or element among others. Since we are of the body of Christ, other actions and our attitudes toward one another should reflect His character. You know, we should always reflect the character of Jesus Christ. A few things about the body of Christ. No one Christian is better than another. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So no one of us is better than the other. We are all the same in the body of Christ. Number two, God has given each of us a part. Look at back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." And then number three, personal and organized study prepare us for the game. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. Second Timothy 2:15, it says, "To study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child that hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And then, number four, Christians must show up for the game. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." And then number five, everyone is welcome to be on the team. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. Anybody want to read that off the top of their head? That assures us right there that we can all be on the team. All we got to do is just do what the Lord says. number six, those that are saved are on the team. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 11, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So if you're saved today, you're on the team. Just as we have problems with our physical bodies that we have to deal with from time to time, we will also have problems within the body of Christ, the church, that we will have to deal with. When we have things going on with our physical bodies, such as sickness and injuries, things that's out of our control, we usually go to the doctor, a physician. But what about when things are going on in the body of Christ, the church? Do we see what the doctor says about it? Or do we go to the great physician in prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we try to do things our way? Just like we are not going to separate our members from our physical body, as members of the body of Christ, there should never be any division among us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:25 that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. As Christians or saved people, we make up the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, it takes all of us as members of the local church to do the work that the Lord has for us to do. That's what I have for today. Brother Kevin Stinson, could you dismiss us? Yeah.